I figure I want to spend a little bit of time in Ephesians chapter 5. I do a few studies in this chapter. But let's turn our Bibles and read the first few chapters in Ephesians chapter 5. Here we read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as their children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And this is God's commandment to us. This is God speaking to each and every one of us. And we want to spend a few studies in this particular chapter as far as we could go. And next time we want to continue on in this particular chapter. But let's go back over to verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. God says, be their followers of God as their children. This is God's commandment to us, that we should be followers of God. And that's a very, very important command. God tells us that we have to follow Him. And we know that of ourselves, we can't obey this commandment. None of His commandments we can obey. He tells us, He gives us a whole lot of commandments in the Bible, but how can we obey them? We're sinners. We've rebelled against God. And God demands perfection. We have to walk before Him perfectly. And not one of us could do that. Not one of us could do that. And there are many people who are not saved, and they're trying desperately to follow Christ. Can't do it. They're trying desperately to do it God's way. And if we're not born again, if God has not given me a new heart, we can't do it. We can't do it. And as you read on in Ephesians chapter 5, God gives a commandment to the husbands and the wives. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Can we of ourselves do it? No. We need God's help. We can't love our wives that way unless God is not working in us. It's not going to be a perfect love for our wives, but He commands us to do it. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here we're going to see Paul the Apostle, as God the Holy Spirit moved him to write these things. And at times, he's a picture of Christ. Paul the Apostle, in many instances in the Bible, is a picture of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to start reading in verse 1. Here he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, be followers of me. So Paul is pointing to himself. Hey, we ought to be followers of him. And says, even as I also am of Christ. So in this instance, we could see that Paul the Apostle is a picture of Christ. You see. And says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So you see there in verse 1, Paul is a picture of Christ himself. He said, be followers of me. See, because he also is following Christ. But I believe in this picture here, he's been a picture of Christ himself. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Start reading, I believe, in verse 12. Pick up the context in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Start reading in verse 12. And labor working with your own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. See, he's a great picture of Christ and of a true believer, as he also is following Christ. And that he set the example would be followers of him. And we know that Paul the Apostle is a saved man. But also we want to look at an example that God gives us in the Bible about Israel. Remember, to be truly, faithfully following Christ, we cannot do it of ourselves. We have to be born again. We're going to look at this example that God gives us in the Bible about Israel. Israel were trying desperately to do it God's way. Remember when God would speak to Moses and Israel would respond by saying, all that God tells us we will do. They will do it. They will do it. But we know they couldn't. They couldn't do it. Because why? They weren't saved. They weren't saved. Like anyone today who's desperately trying to follow Christ, but they're not born again, it's going to be an uphill battle. Because they're relying on their own strength. You know, I'm going to do it even if it kills me. We can't do it. We cannot obey God because being a true follower of Christ is not easy. There are going to be trials. There are going to be tribulations. There are going to be testing of the one sort or the other. And you name it. And if you're not saved, you're going to get discouraged. And you're going to throw in the towel. And you're going to go right back into the world. You're going to remember to sow up the seed and all this. You can't do it. You can't do it. Remember all the... When you read through that parable, some people heard the word and fell on and stones and so forth, but there was only one of them that was truly saved, the seed that fell on good ground. Because in one of them, the word fell on the cares of this world, they go right back into it because they were never born again. Maybe they tried for a while, but eventually they fell away because they were never truly saved. God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's go back over there, verse 11. God tells us about Israel. It says, when you read that, it says in verse 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, now all these things happen, speaking about Israel, unto them for examples. So when we read about Israel or read the Old Testament and look at Israel, we shouldn't look down our long noses and say, aha, look at them. Look at them. No, we should look at ourselves. Remember, these things are written for an examples, and that are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So as we look at Israel, you know, we should be very careful of pointing the finger. Pointing the finger. What about me? Am I being obedient to God? Am I walking very humbly before God? Not looking at anyone else. What at me? See, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. But God in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is going to point the finger at what was Israel's problem. Why they couldn't be obedient to God's commandment. He's pointing the finger at us also. He's pointing the finger at us. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, you're going to pick up in verse 28. God is going to put the finger and those who are trying to follow God, they're not saved. So God's going to put the finger on the problem. We start reading in verse 25 of Deuteronomy 28. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when he spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. they have well said all that they have spoken. In verse 29, oh, that there were such a heart. You know, Israel admitted, oh, we're going to do what you say, Lord. And here God now is looking at their heart. He says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. See what their problem? Their heart. Their heart wasn't right. God did not give them a new heart. See, those who are trying desperately to do God's way, but God hasn't given them a new heart. So you see, God is putting the finger on what Israel's problem was. Their heart, their heart. Every time God would test them, put a test upon them, they would murmur, they would complain, they would want to go back into Egypt. Because you know why? Their heart never left Egypt. Israel's heart never left Egypt. They would complain. God would test them. God would give them what they asked for. And another trial would come. And they would practically want to stone Moses. Because their heart wasn't right. Look at the book of Acts. God tells us there where Israel's heart was also. Go over to Acts chapter... the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts, chapter 7. We're going to start reading at verse 37. Acts, chapter 7. Start reading at verse 37. Here, Stephen, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is preaching this beautiful sermon. Beautiful sermon to the peoples before he was stoned to death. And here we're going to pick up the context in verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Speaking about Christ. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, which the angel spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. It goes, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. See where their heart was? Israel in their heart would turn back into Egypt. See, that's where the heart was. And look at verse 40. Let's read verse 40. Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not which become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idols, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. And God goes on. So you see what their problem was. Their hearts never left Egypt. They always wanted us to go back. See, and here they are. God is testing them in the wilderness. And they would stumble. They would fall. Constantly fall and rebel. Because their heart. Their heart, just like any one of us today. Here you claim to be a child of God and God tests you. And because this person's heart is not right with God, they fall. They just keep on stumbling. And that there's those who stumble at the word. Today we're living in the time where the church age is over. It's a big test. Claim to be a child of God. What are you going to do? And many, many, many people today are failing that test. Are failing the test. They want to go. They've gone back into churches. They've gone back into Egypt. Under bondage. Gone back into Egypt. And many who are out. They desire to go back. You know, we have to look at our own heart. Do you really believe that church age is over? That we're at the end of the world? That we're there? See, it's a test. It's a test. Whom are you going to obey? Whom are you going to obey? So you see, in order for us to follow Christ in the God-glorifying way, God has to put within us a new heart. A new heart. It's not easy. Because remember, If you're truly saved, God has saved you and He's left us in a body that is not saved. And our bodies are a big test. Whom are you going to obey? Our bodies are there, you know, or it's there. We can't get rid of it. You know, we can't. We have to live in our bodies until the Lord either return on the last day or we die and go home to be with Christ. Our bodies are testing us. You know, it's testing us every day. Whom are you going to obey? You see. And as we know in Ezekiel, God, you know, that new heart that we need to follow Christ, we can't create within us a new heart. Remember what Ezekiel 36 tells us? God will put within us a new heart. That new heart that we need to follow Christ has to come from God Himself. Let's just read that familiar passage again in Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36, let's read verse 25 and 26 and 27. Start reading Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. See, God has to perform that mighty miracle of salvation in us. He has to give us the new heart. No one can do that. We're a new creation. A new heart, God says He will give us. And a new spirit will I put within you, and will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. See? Cause me to walk in His statutes, to follow Him, to be obedient to Him. Remember, our pastor says, be followers of God, Ephesians 5:1. We ought to be followers of God as their children. And God is the one who will put a new spirit within me and cause me to walk in His statutes, in His commandments, to be obedient to Him. And He shall keep my judgments and do them. And in verse 28, and He shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and shall be my people, and I will be your God. See, that's something that God does. He does it all. Look at John 10. Remember in John 10? In John 10, pick up the context in verse 27. Here, God's speaking about the true believers. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Those are God's elect, His people. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. God knows all his elect. He knows every single one of them. He says here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See, it's all God's doing. For us to follow God in a glorifying way, we must be born again. We must be born again, or else it's going to be an uphill battle. Can't do it up yourself. We cannot follow God, be obedient to God as He commands us, unless we are born again. That's just how it is. We have to be born again to be a true follower of Christ. And a whole bunch of people claim that they're following Christ, but they're not saved. They're not saved. It's going to be difficult. You can't do it until God makes us born again, and He works in us. And a couple more verses here about Israel. And it could apply to our own situation. In Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews 4 verse 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached was as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard the gospel, but they hear it with the physical ear, but God didn't give them a heart to perceive it. You see, that's why they just keep stumbling and falling and falling and falling again, because they were never born again. Look at, go back over to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29. God gives us a little bit of information here. Deuteronomy 29, verses 1 to 4. See, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes. See, this, seen all this. You see, old faith doesn't come by seeing things. You know, if there were a nation who you thought would believe in God would be Israel. They heard the voice of God. They see all these mighty miracles that God did for them. And yet, God goes on to tell us they perish in the wilderness because of unbelief. See. And before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. They saw it. You see. And look at verse 4. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. See, God did not give them eyes to see and a heart to perceive. Like any one of us here today, who God has not given you eyes to see and a new heart. You can't perceive, you can't understand. Some things you could understand, but the deeper things of the Bible, because God has not worked in you to will and to do, we can't walk humbly before God. Because remember, no matter how somebody, you don't know what somebody else is thinking. Outwardly, they may appear to be, you know, loving the Lord. Outwardly. But inwardly, we can't see that person. We can't see that person. You don't know what goes on in that person's heart. God knows. But that person who might be claimed to be a child of God, but if God has not given them a new heart, they're not saved. They can't be obedient to God's commandments the way that God require of us. Can't. We're still yet under God's wrath. His wrath yet abides upon us. And that person is in deep and terrible trouble with God. Because God has to give us spiritual eyes to see and a heart to perceive. And he has to cause us to walk in his commandments and all these things. And if we're not saved, then we can't do it. We can't do it. Look at Matthew. Let's turn back over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Start reading at verse 11. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not given. You see, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the deeper spiritual things of the Bible, is given to God's elect. They're going to perceive it. They're going to understand it because God has given them a new heart. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. You know, you can speak to somebody about the church age being over, or you speak to them about grace, you're saved by grace, and because God has not given them a heart to perceive it, they can't understand it. They can't see it. See, God is the one who has to open our eyes to truth. He's the one who has make us born again and cause us to walk in his commandments. But let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 5. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1. We're Let's spend a few studies in this particular chapter. So we see that God, let's read verse 1 again. We read in verse 1. God commands us, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And we see that the only way we're going to do that is unless God has made me born again. You know, many people claim that they're following Christ, but, you know, some people might think, oh, you know, if I'm following Christ, all is going to go well with me. You know, or whatever they think. But God, it's not so. That's when troubles begin, when you become born again, because as we know that we're living in a world that is in spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness, as we look in our society today, sin is just abounding. No one can deny that. You look at the family, you look at the marriage relationship, you look at sin, you just look around us. It's just multiplying and multiplying. Seems like it's to no end. But we know that God is in control. God is going to allow this world, as we know He's preparing this world for judgment, He's going to let the sin multiply until, as far as He wants us to go, then He ends the world. You know, when you look at local news or the newspaper, it's just the murder. It just seems like it's out of control. And sin is multiplying. When you look 20, 30 years ago, you know, as we, some of us know that, you know, the homosexual thing was in the closet. And now they're out there demanding rights and recognition and you name it. We see it. But we know that God is just setting this world, He's just preparing this world for judgment. And it seems to be like we're so close to the end of the world. And, you know, each one of us has to examine ourselves. Am I born again? Are we? Because tomorrow is not guaranteed to any one of us. The only thing is guaranteed to us is our next breath. Is our next breath. And God could come for us at any given day. No matter how young you are or how healthy you are or whatever, it has nothing to do with that. He could come in death for any one of us. Any one of us. And if you're not born again, all hope is gone. So you see, it's important to make sure that indeed that we're born again. But there are those who, during the church age, you know, the church has coined the gospel as a pattern after, you know, all you have to do is just become saved and the Lord is going to give you this and He's going to give you that and He's going to give you all these things. But they're supposedly following Christ for all the wrong reasons. You look at the televangelists on TV, you know, all they have want you to do is send them this and this is going to be well. God's going to multiply it back to you with 1,000-fold, you know. There are those who are following Christ supposedly for their own belly, their own gain, you see. And see how the church has just totally destroyed the gospel. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. There are those who supposedly say they are following Christ, but actually they're following their own lust. Their own lust. And the televangelists and pastors have designed the gospel to feather their own nest. That's all it is. We read in verse 17. Philippians chapter 3 verse 17. Brethren, be followers together with me. See, how many times God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us, and I believe God is using, I believe, Paul the Apostle to write these. Brethren, be followers together with me, and mark them which walk so as ye have of us for an example. For many walk. These people who claim that they're following Christ. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. You see, weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're walking, supposedly following Christ for their own gain. Verse 19. Here God is going to tell us, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things. And the church is a pattern of gospel right here, to fit this mode, right here. They mine earthly things. Just like Israel, their heart never left Egypt. And there are those who are patterned the gospel, who's centered right on the things of this life, at the things of this earth. Their God is their belly, just like Israel. That's why we can't look down our long noses at Israel. God is telling us the same thing He told them. Israel's heart wasn't right with God. And there are those who are supposedly following Christ in our day, who is just like Israel, who God is their belly. That's all they're following Christ for. God, they're following a gospel that is centered on the things of this earth. They mind earthly things, you know. And verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven." He's speaking to the true believers. "From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." See, that's where our eyes ought to be. Not on the things of this life. You see, it ought to be on heavenly things. See, things that are eternal. You see, but you see, as we know how, and one of the reasons why the churches are under judgment is because of this reason also, where the gospel that have been patterned after the things in this life. And how sad that is. And every one of us ought to also examine our own selves. The gospel I'm following, is it centered on the truths of God's word? You know, salvation doesn't have anything to do with what I have or don't have physically. It has nothing to do with that. Because as we all know, that when you die, you take none of it with you. It is all left behind, and it's going to be burnt up on that last day. Going to be totally destroyed. So what good is it? That's why God tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." See, we have to look at eternal things. Let's look at another verse. Anybody have any questions or comments or Bible verses? Yes.
I can say for the question too.
Okay. Romans chapter 7. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. And you know, the church have coined this thing also about carnal Christians. If it's just the Bible doesn't teach that. You know, let's look at Romans. I think I jump ahead here, but the only way also we're going to serve Christ, as I said earlier, one, that our bodies are not saved. So we see that as God the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to write Romans chapter 7, he's in a body that is not saved. And the true believers, we're not going to live a perfect life. In our spirit, where we become born again, we're perfect in our spirit. But this body of ours, as we follow Christ, is a bother to us. It's a test to us. And as you read through Romans 7 here, and at the end here, in verse 22, we read, "For I delight," as God the Holy Spirit is moving Apostle Paul to write these things, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of the of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death which is in my members. It says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." See, it's a struggle for the true believers as he seek, as God has given him a true desire to walk humbly before Him. We're in this body that is a problem for us. And it's there, like a sore thumb. You see, and it's a struggle. But with the help of God, we could as He strengthens us, we could have victory over this body of ours. Remember, God tells us to crucify the flesh, to put it to death. And don't feel sorry for yourself, because our bodies, you know, as we're living in this body, we see sin pop up here and there. God gives you victory over this sin, and here's another one pop up. And it's a spiritual warfare in this body of ours. But you see, the true believers, we want to be with Christ, where we no longer have to be struggling with this body of ours. That's where we desire to be. But for the moment, we have this earthly house that we have to contend with. See, look at another verse. Look at Romans 6. Turn over to Romans 6. In Romans 6, God's going to tell us a little bit more here about our bodies. In Romans chapter 6, we're going to start reading at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, to his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Before we were saved, we were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. See, the heart, the new heart that God has given to us, that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants to righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You see, before we were saved, we were following the dictates of our flesh. But now we become born again, it's a different situation. A true believer, we have to rule over our bodies. It doesn't rule over us any longer. You see, but as we follow God in this world, God tells us, let's look at another in Matthew 7. Remember, we got to follow Him in this body that God has given to us for the time being. Matthew 7. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy way. You know, in Matthew 7, we read in verse 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, we read, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many. You know, these people think that they're following Christ, but there's going to be a whole host of people who is going to come to the realization that they were never saved. They were never born again. They thought they were following Christ, but they weren't. And God goes on to tell us in verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. The narrow is afflicted as we follow Christ, because Christ is the way. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. See, it's a very afflicted way as we follow Christ. Remember, you look through the history of the church, many people were stoned to death, burned at the stake, and all hosts of things happened to true believers as they were following Christ. But, yeah, Lester.
I think I have an idea what the narrow gate is, so I figured it out. And he said, the straight gate is to lean towards Christ, lean toward Christ, you're going the right way. The narrow gate means you're not hitting the right, you're going the opposite way. You know?
Yeah, the broad way leads to destruction, the Bible tells us.
That's the narrow gate.
Yeah, and the narrow way, the afflicted way. We know that Christ is the way. And it's a very afflicted. Yeah, Christ is the gate. He's the way. And serving Christ, be a follower, true follower of Christ, is not an easy thing. Yeah, he points in the right direction. Yeah. But Christ, being a follower of Christ, being obedient to His commandments, you become an enemy to this world. And, you know, God's going to send trials and tribulations in your path. And these things are going to happen. You could lose a loved one. You could lose your job. You just name it. You could come down with a terrible illness, and it seems like everything is going wrong. Well, if they don't want to hear it, you can force it on them. Somebody's hearing the gospel with someone and they don't want to hear it. You can't, you know, you share it with someone else. And you keep going. But we shouldn't be discouraged by that. We should just keep on going. Because we live in a world where mankind doesn't want to hear the gospel. You know, he doesn't want to hear it. You know, he, let me be, you know, I'm fine. But as we know that they're not fine. They're not. Any other comments? Okay, let's close. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, once again for thy word. And we thank you, Lord, that today is still the day of salvation. Oh, Lord, we thank you for thy grace. And we thank you, Lord, for this day that thou hast given to us, that we could come together around thy word and fellowship together. Oh, Lord, whatever was said that was not true to thy word, oh, Lord, could you forgive and correct us from thy word? Oh, Lord, we pray for all the activities of this day. May you use it to the praise of thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In 10 minutes, we meet back again for our Bible study. Oh, yeah.